Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, everyone, and thank you for waiting. We would like to welcome to the audio conference of Sanepar Sanitation Company of Paraná. We're going to be looking at the results of the first quarter of 2020. This presentation may contain forward-looking statements regarding Sanepar's business prospects, estimates of operating and financial results, and growth prospects. These are only projections and, as such, are based solely on Sanepar's management expectations regarding the future of the business and its continued access to capitals in order to finance the company's business plan. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They depend substantially on changes in market conditions, governmental rules, the performance of the industry, and other factors, in addition to the risks presented in the disclosure documents filed by Sanepar and are therefore subject to change without prior notice. All participants will only be listening to the presentation. After that, we're going to have a Q&A session that will last up to 30 minutes. To begin, we would like to turn it over to the Director of Investor Relations, Abel. Abel, good morning. Thank you. You have the word.
Thank you, Marcelo. On behalf of Sanepar Sanitation Company of Paraná, I would like to thank everyone for participating in this teleconference. We have Sanival, our manager. We have the accounting manager as well. Mario Zigotsky is here as well. And the Investor Relations team. We're going to be talking about the results of the first quarter. We have a few highlights here. The net revenue growth was 13.4%. The EBITDA growth was around 15.1%, and the net profit growth is 17.7%. We also have a few figures here for billed volume growth, 0.3%, and the billed volume growth for sewage would be 2.4%. The service index would be 100% for water and 74.4% for sewage. The EBITDA margin increase was 41.8%. In the first quarter, we also finished the issuing of debentures in the value of 350 million reais. On the next page, we can look at the operating results. We had an increase in the billing of water, the measured volume, as you can see here on the slide. Same thing for sewage. It grew 2.3% in comparison with the previous quarter. This also has to do with these figures. They also have to do with the consequence of the pandemic. We see that ever since 2016, we've seen a little change in these levels. We have a change of 4.7 points in the operating efficiency. As you can see, it is 235.7. In this context, we are now looking at these indicators, at these results, and we would like to compare the heat maps for the first quarter of 2019. We can see that it goes from normal temperate weather to a very dry or extremely dry aspect, especially near Curitiba, the city of Curitiba in Brazil. We have had, over the next few months, little rain, less than expected, and an average of just 12 milliliters in Curitiba, which is much less than expected. I would say it's just a few droplets, really. It's almost zero. Actually, there is an emergency state that was decreed in the city of Curitiba because of that. They're trying to tell the population that it is a very serious matter. We don't have much rain, and we have to be careful about the usage of water.
Now, on page five, we can see the performance indicators. The company is looking good in terms of covenants. We can see the debentures that were issued. We can also see the figures for BNDES, the National Bank for Economic and Social Development. We also have the Caixa contract. As you can see on the slide, everything is paid for. We don't have any indebtedness in this regard. We have 48.8% in the first quarter of 2019. We can see the change versus the first quarter of last year and first quarter of this year. And we would have 15.8 in the first quarter of 2020. On the next page, we can see the net revenue, 13.4%, as I mentioned before. The EBITDA reached 521 million, so it reached a growth of 15.1%. The net profit and net margin, as you can see here, has a net margin of around 17.7% growth. And we also have the figures for the operating costs and expenses. On the next page, we can look at the financial performance. We have the cash generation and EBITDA conversion reaching around 50%. The net debt and leverage also had a change versus the first quarter of 2019. In terms of weighted average cost of debt, we have a short-term debt that summed with the long-term debt would reach 3.448, as you can see on the slide as well. We also have the cash and equivalent cash here, the net indebtedness for the first quarter of 2020, and we also have the number for 2019. Now, going back to the weighted average cost of debt, we also have around 10% of the indebtedness of the company. And we also have to think about the IPCA and the Selic fees that will have a consequence on all this. Our CAPEX reached 211 million, and it is aligned with what we had last year. Now, let's look at the next slide. We're going to talk about the income statement. The net revenue, as you can see, had a growth of 13.4%, as I mentioned before. This is now for all of these factors. Another important item, I think, is material. One of the main aspects here would be material because it has a growth of 31.5%. We also have maintenance material involved here, with a variation of around 24%, and treatment material that went from around 40% up. And basically, we have a change in the volume of water and sewage that was treated. So all that material had an important increase, very significant. Also, many of the materials had a readjustment, like caustic soda and many other things are used. I would also like to highlight the presence of our colleague here, Mario, helping us out with this matter. Now, we had a growth of around 15% in the total costs and expenses in this quarter. We had an increase of the net revenue that also has to do with the municipal fees, the city fees, that also has an impact and a repercussion. In terms of the financial expenses, we have an increase of 15.3%, as you can see on the slide. And this has to do with the adjustment. We made a technical assessment on the life cycle of these Also thinking about the expenses, we had around 64% increase. And a loss estimate on provisions and accounts receivable. And we also have the partial numbers for the works in Curitiba. We have the consortium BM, LFM, and SCF with a change of 15.184. This is a work that happened a while ago, but there was a judicial deposit that was canceled, and then there was an indemnification of around 15 million reais. Now, thinking about the recurring figures, we had the losses over credit realization, the 11 million reais that I commented before. So our recurring EBITDA would be 44%, and our margins would be, as you can see, on the next page on the adjusted EBITDA, we can see electricity, treatment material, and also fees and charges. And that sums to 49.7. So the EBITDA margin would be 45.8%. On the next page, we have the balance sheet. We're looking at net debt. Loans as well, that is going to increase the indebtedness. We have salaries and other charges and fees. And on the next page, I'm going to tell you about the cash flow of the company. We had the operating activities with a variation of 49.8, investment activities, and financing activities with 302,000 reais, including loans and financing payments of leasing, and other variations. We also had resources coming from Caixa and BNDES. And this also includes the discounts. So this is the cash flows at the beginning of the period and also at the end of the period. Well, these were the main topics for the first quarter of 2020. And I am here at your disposal. If you have any questions or any comments, please let us know. Great. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a Q&A session now. I remind you that if you have a question, all you have to do is press *9 on your phone. We already have a few questions here. The first one by Gabriel from XP Investments. Gabriel, you have the word. Good morning, everyone from the team. Thank you for the opportunity to ask my questions. I would like to start with the water works activities, especially after the governor of your state also made a few communications about, so I wanted to know more about the status of that in Curitiba. What's the water situation on the integrated system for water in Curitiba? I wanted to know about the other reservoirs, what's their situation, and what kind of measures you're taking to mitigate any issues. We have Claudio participating in one of our events, and he talked about wells and other measures. So that would be one question. The other has to do with the fee adjustment that was temporarily suspended after the last extraordinary meeting. So I wanted to know the evolution on that. Is there anything that's publicly available on the readjustment? Anything that we should know? That's it. Thank you. Okay, Gabrielle, thank you for the question. I'm going to start with the second question. And I have Julio, our environmental manager here, to help me out. Well, about the readjustment, on April 17th, it is true that that was suspended after an extraordinary meeting until May or June. We'll know soon if it's going to be May or June, depending on the pandemic. Well, publicly, we still have nothing available. We're waiting to see. We have done a few calculations. JSPAR has already validated a few of these calculations, models, but we don't have anything publicly available as of now. I think the readjustment is going to depend on the evolution of the pandemic as well. If it's going to be more flexible, the social distancing is going to be more flexible or not, that is going to be key for us to see how this is going to evolve. Now, as for the water situation in the state, according to the media and all that, this is probably one of the main droughts in the last years in Paraná. Curitiba is usually a city where it rains a lot, but as I said before, it has rained really virtually nothing. So that is important for the integrated system of Curitiba. That is impactful, I would say. It has to serve around 40% of the population in Curitiba, and we have a problem with the captation from one of the rivers where we have the fifth dam for the integrated system in Curitiba, but it's still not completely ready. So since we depend on the volume in that river, we have a reduction in the amount of water resources. We also have an issue in the metropolitan region of Rio Grande with a very low flow over there, and we also have a few works on site trying to have a better intake of water. In Paraná, in the southeastern region of Paraná, it's been complicated in terms of water. There are also a few places where there is lack of or shortage of water. Now, talking about the decree, I think it's better if Julio explains this. Let me give him the microphone so that he can explain a little bit more about this, because he was participating in this discussion more actively than me. So he will tell you about the company and other views. Good morning, this is Julio. The decree has a few important points for Sanepar and for other companies in the state. The first one would be the recognition that of the water crisis that is affecting the entire state of Paraná. I have to say there is shortage of water due to the lack of rain, and it has a direct connection with the crisis. And that's why we have a low water supply. In Guarapuava, in the center of the state, they had 47% less rain than expected in the last 11 months. In Curitiba, it was 43% less. In Londrina and Maringá, which are important regions, they only had 15% lower rain levels, but they had concentrated rains. So in Londrina, for instance, there was a critical issue in the springs. So we're looking at the entire state of Paraná with this water crisis. I would highlight the second point on the decree that recognizes that emergency, and it establishes for the licensing institutes, for instance, the Water and Land Institute that we have there, it shows that they need to start with an emergency project to analyze licensing. Let me give you an example and explain that a little bit better. Those who need to work with Rio Pequeno to Rio Mininguava, they have to do it now to solve the issue of the springs. So that gives us the license to do that. That's fundamental, really, to have a better action in that transposition. Now, there's another important article. You see, the Water and Land Institute is going to be able to also review whatever is destined to other things, like agriculture, industry, entertainment, etc. So they will be able to reduce the resources that are destined to those sectors to make sure that the water supply is fine. So that is going to be important and impactful for the state of Paraná, because there is a lot of agriculture in Paraná. And there shouldn't be an economic conflict at the same time with the people who are producing. But still, the water supply is very important. It is essential. And the last thing is that for sanitation companies or for water supply companies, there is a shift, let's say, of 24 hours without water supply and then 3 or 4 days with water supplies. And that shift without water, it could be up to 24 hours. But usually in Curitiba, it only takes 10 or 12 hours for everything to work fine again. But you see, that shift, that period is very important for the system to be working correctly again. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for answering my questions. I just wanted to say, just wanted to ask you, considering that the consumption of water is very important right now due to hygiene issues and the pandemic, I think this has been very important issue. There is an increase of around 6% in the consumption of water because of that. So there might be even higher levels. Are you going to consider any measures regarding that? Or are you going to try to educate consumers considering this crisis? Well, what happened is that the temperature, the weather in Curitiba in February and March, they were really warmer than expected. And that's why I think the consumption went up as well. But considering the water issue, the water crisis, and considering the pandemic, we have been trying to educate people. We have been trying to tell them that they have to consume water in a practical, rational, or correct way. They shouldn't be just washing cars. They should save water for whatever is fundamental. So we believe that the population is going to be following those instructions. I'm sure that we're going to be able to raise awareness about this. And we still have a good level, a somewhat good level right now. Thanks to that, we also built some dams, some reservoirs in the past. And right now, even with one of these, even with one of the worst droughts that we've seen in the past years, we are still able to face this crisis in a reasonable way, I would say. Okay, I see. Thank you. Very well. Our next question is coming from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse. So, Carolina, you have the word. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. One has to do with the question that Gabrielle was asking. I wanted to understand the difference between what you were doing in the beginning of the year, since the water crisis was already a reality. I mean, we've seen it in the news. We saw a few campaigns to contain or to reduce the consumption. There was something about that shift, you know, reducing the amount of water for a few hours. Now, it seems like that shift is going to last longer than expected. Is that going to happen, or are you just going to change the procedures that you already had in place? That's what I wanted to understand. What kind of impact are we going to be looking at? Do you have an idea of what might happen? Also, with the extension of the shift, I want to know if that happens, what is going to be the consequence of that? And finally, in terms of provisions and credit provisions, you have an estimate. You talked about the possible impact because of the COVID pandemic. We have seen a few things on the news saying that the growth and the losses could be higher. So I want to have an idea if those figures that you have provisioned seem adequate, since the scenario is rapidly changing. There's this crisis, there's the pandemic. So I want to know about your opinion on that. If that is the final figure or not, do you think the scenario at Santa Par is better than for other water resources companies? That's it. Thank you. Thank you for the question, Carolina. Well, let me tell you about the water crisis. With Claudio and the rest of the team, we really implemented a few measures. As he was saying, there have been some campaigns in the media for people to understand how to use water correctly. We've been trying to raise awareness. We have started with that shift procedure that he mentioned, and there are a few regions that are more affected than others, so we've been trying to be more directed, more targeted at them. Now, there are some other people. There are some people, part of the population, that have water reservoirs or water tanks in their house. So for them, it's usually fine during the time that we don't have the water supply. But some other regions are more affected. Some other people are more affected since they don't have that resource. So we've been trying to be very careful with what we do. We don't have an estimate right now of the amount of consumers that are being impacted or mostly affected. But I would say that since the entire state of Paraná is suffering, we also have the other states surrounding Paraná suffering with this water crisis. And I think the decree is trying to basically help companies and raise awareness for the population to understand what's happening. As Julio was saying, also, we've been working on a wide plan, on a very thorough plan, really, to make this last as little as possible. We don't want this water supply shift to last much longer, but it's difficult to have a very exact forecast right now. We are consuming water and we don't know when and if it's going to rain. So again, what we have to do is make sure that people are aware of that. The estimate would be that around 7% of the population in the state doesn't receive water supply correctly or normally. That's the estimate that we have right now. Now, in terms of PDB, because of the COVID, we've been making an effort to see what points are mostly affected by COVID. March was a very complex, or posed a very complex situation. It's not just about looking at the level of indebtedness. The history here doesn't really serve us well as a reference because this is a very atypical situation. We looked at the PDB at the end of March to close the first quarter, and for what we have done in the month of April, we think this is all aligned with what happened in April. We believe that it all is going to depend on how the pandemic is going to change and evolve. It was very difficult in the beginning to see how the payments were going to be done. There were some banks and other payment branches that were closed in the beginning of the previous month, and it was difficult for people to pay. But again, it's a very atypical situation. We cannot assure how this is going to evolve. I'm not sure if I answered your question. Oh, sure. Thank you, Abel. I just have one last comment. In terms of reservoirs, the resources that are most critical, I just wanted to know how much do you represent out of the total amount? Especially thinking about specific areas. Maybe you could divert the resources from one area and make them go to a different area or something. Well, look, in Curitiba has integrated systems, as was mentioned. They're not 100% integrated. So there are a few specific points that depend on what is on the intake of specific dams and reservoirs. So that's a very low percentage, maybe 4%. But of course, every person counts. Every citizen is important. So we're not going to ignore anyone, even if it's a low percentage of 4%. We have been trying to see, to identify the dams that have a lower flow, like the Idai River, for instance, or the Piratai. And Piratai, on the other hand, has 100%. So we're trying to integrate them and make sure that the population served by the Idai River is going to receive resources coming from other rivers, from other reservoirs. We are trying to make sure that the situation is regular for everyone, and all of the efforts of the company are in that regard. Okay, thank you. Our next question is from Marcelo Sarr from Banco Itaú. Hello, everyone. I have a question that is also connected with what Carol was saying. You see, the government and some companies have indicated that there was an impact in the collection. The sanitation company in Paraná approved a law that suspends the cut. So I wanted to understand what kind of impact you had in terms of money collection because of the issues that you mentioned. And I wanted to see the regulators are going to probably rebalance the losses with an increase of fees. I wanted to understand what you're expecting. Well, in March, there was failure to pay, and as I said, people were afraid of what was going to happen, and also many banks and places were closed. So it was complicated. There was failure to pay, there was non-compliance due to the atypical situation. I think it's only equivalent to what happened in 2016. We still haven't disclosed the figures for April. We're still looking and validating the figures, but we don't usually disclose that. But we understand that April was aligned with the month of March. But again, we don't have the final numbers. As was said before, or as was seen on the media, it would be around 25% non-payment. Now, right now, what I can say is that the company decided to not charge families who have a social benefit or a governmental aid, and we're not going to charge them for 90 days. And it is basically a fee exemption for such families, for such households. And we're going to see in the future how that's going to evolve, how these people are going to be charged. I don't want to delve deep into that right now because it's going to depend on when and how the pandemic is over. Now, in the fee, we have a fee that is 0.66%. We must see if that is enough to cover for the main expenses that we have for our tourists. So, Marcelo, we have to assess the risks of the company and see if the 0.66% is going to be enough to help us with the main basic fees. But again, there are some readjustments. We have to see the return, the PDB as well, the business plan. It might be more difficult depending on the technology. Okay, thank you. Thank you. We also have a question by Francisco Navarrete from Bradesco. Francisco, you have the word. Good morning. Actually, my questions have been answered already. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Okay, just want to remind you, if you have a question, you can press star 9 so we can unmute you. Our next question is from Fernando from Santander. Fernando, you have the word. Well, I just wanted to ask you a quick question about cash generation. The fee is not going to go up. The demand is higher. The offer is lower. You're not going to increase the charged fees, and the government is using its power to make sure that the population is served and or receives their supplies in this complicated moment. So what can the company do to make sure that the cash flow is fine and to avoid a more conservative approach? Because right now, in this very moment, it's a very complicated scenario for the company, right? Thank you for the question. What you're saying is extremely important. From a financial perspective, we understand liquidity is something that the company needs to preserve at all costs. So our management is trying to make sure that the liquidity is maintained. The federal government has implemented a few rules, as you have said, and we're trying to make them work for us with PIS/COFINS fees and other fees being covered by the basic fees. BNDES, the National Bank for Economic and Social Development, has also allowed us to use a certain provision for 6 months. Caixa Federal has also approved something similar in terms of the FGTS, the funds for the employees, basically. So the company has the company is looking at the superficial, I'm not going to say superficial because they're not, but so to say, superficial expenses, and it's trying to only make sure that we cover for the main essential ones. In terms of the fee, the charge fee not going up, well, that's true. I mean, this is the situation of the pandemic, but this is not just for Sanepar. It's for the entire country, the entire world. We are just looking at the companies that are going to be mostly affected right now. It is true that our company is going to have to deal with that. So again, you were saying that we're not going to charge more. You were saying that the demand is low. It is true. It's not a very good moment because it's not raining much. We also depend on that availability to have a good offer. But even though the payment is going to be suspended for 90 days, that is happening for other companies as well, for electricity companies, etc. Electricity is a very important part of this as well. Anyway, we've been working hard during the pandemic to make sure that the liquidity and the financial health of the company are okay. Of course, we're suffering, everyone is, during this difficult time, but we understand that we are an essential sector of society and we have to continue supplying people with our resources. I think your question is reasonable. I mean, it makes sense, but we also depend on so many factors that we cannot control. Thank you. Our next question will be by Federico from Santander. You have the word. Good morning. Abel, thank you for the presentation. I have a question about your investments. I wanted to know if you have reviewed what you're going to do in the long term, and about the water crisis, do you think the investments are going to change? Do you think the expansion profile is going to be different to supply the population? Also about the pandemic, do you think you're going to, as Fernando was saying, do you think you're going to consider those factors to extend your investment timeline or project? Thank you, Federico, for the question. In the first quarter, we basically maintained what we had in the previous year in terms of investments. Right now, we're not trying to reduce any investments, or we're not looking to cut down on any projects right now, because we know that other companies that we invest on also are facing difficulties. And we trust that they're going to help us with civil construction and other projects as well. There are some contracts already in place with Caixa and other institutions, and we also count on third-party companies for our investments. And we don't think that's going to be an issue. Since we have very good leverage, we're not looking to, again, as I was saying, reduce our investments in a radical way. It's true that it's been very critical for us to rethink our planning, But we're trying to accelerate a few works to make sure that the people are going to receive their water supply. Okay, so you're going to maintain the provision of 1.3. Because, I mean, you had 16% of that in the previous quarter, in the last quarter, but now you're going to accelerate your projects? I cannot say that for sure right now. We haven't assessed the entire situation. As I was saying, the pandemic has largely affected us, especially in the month of March, and we're going to have to see what happens 3 or 4 months from now. And as we know, as we see what happens with our cash flow, we'll be able to reassess that. In the first quarter, we had a figure that is lower than usually. So we're going to have to see what happens in the next few months. Okay, thank you. Now we're going to have Liliane from HSBC with a question. You have the word. Good morning, it's Lily. So I wanted to ask you a question about your estimates of rain levels. I'm sure that you already have the rainfall level forecast for the next few months. So I want to know how much or how long the drought is going to last. Also, do you think that the bill that might be approved soon by the Senate is going to be beneficial for Sanepar? Do you have anything that you can share with us about that bill? And do you think that's going to also have an impact or be impacted by the pandemic? Thank you, Lily, for the questions. These are complex questions. Let me start with the first one. You were asking how long this might last because of the rainfall, the pluviometry forecast. Well, we're approaching winter, and usually there is less rain in fall or winter. So we're looking at around 6 months, probably, until October, until the rainfall levels go up again. Obviously, it's hard to tell if that's really going to happen because right now we're looking at a very different situation. We were expecting much more rain than what is happening. Just the other day, it said on the news that it was going to rain like 40 milliliters, and it did not. I was expecting that. I was ready with my umbrella in hand, and nothing happened. So it's hard to tell what's really going to happen with the forecast. Now, that's the perspective that we have. We're going to have an average that is lower during winter, but it might not be enough to recover the springs. We should have a lot of rain volume to be able to recover them. I think it's just going to be the average, and since we're not going to be able to recover the springs or the spring volume levels, we'll have to maintain those campaigns and that correct consumption for longer, probably. And about that sanitation bill that you referred to, there are a few positive things. We believe that it could be good in terms of regulatory aspects. It would be easier to establish prices. I think everyone would respect that. We would also revisit the technologies that are used, the investments made from our side. Well, the company is very important in the market and the sector, and we're worried about continuing in that position. The company is inserted in that environment and is making an effort to make sure that we adapt to any changes that might happen. And about the estimates of when we think that's going to be approved, well, it's hard to tell because with all this crisis and also the healthcare sector crisis due to the pandemic, there are different times for the Senate to approve bills and to look at any project, really. Right now, with this pandemic situation, it's complicated. Maybe in the future, when this is easier, when we're past the chaos, so to say, then I'm sure we'll have a better forecast, a better estimate. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the question. Our next question is by Vinicius from HSBC. You have the word.
Good morning. Thank you for the space to ask my question. I have two quick questions. You were talking about 19 million reais in losses and assets that cannot be recovered. I want to know how that is going to align with your asset base, what kind of impact you have. And the second question would be for the tariff change happening next year. Do you think that's going to naturally happen in April, or it might be made later because of the pandemic?
Thank you for the question, Vinicius.
Well, that number that you mentioned, 19 million, well, it was connected with our participation in the joint venture. It was around 40% for electricity. We looked at the study of what could be recovered, and we understood that that was the best decision to make, also in terms of regulatory aspects. Now, about the other question, right now, we don't have. We are not sure that that is going to change in 2021. Of course, we're expecting everything to happen according to our usual timeline, but the pandemic is a little bit complicated. It brings a few changes to what we do. So it's something that may cause conflict or changes in what we do. Let me see if my team has anything to add.
Well, I would say that Sanepar is, even though we are not communicating a timeline or anything of the tariff readjustment, we are working to work with a reference model to the consulting activity of the second tariff readjustment or review. So we are expecting to see communication about that soon, but so far we don't know if that's going to be extended. It's a short term, I would say. It could be very challenging, but we're expecting them to let us know ASAP.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question is from Rodrigo from Banco BV. You have the word.
Good morning. My questions have been answered already. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Rodrigo.
Very well.
I remind you all that if you have a question or a comment, you can press star nine so we can unmute you.
We have one question by Lily from HSBC. You have the word.
Oh, thank you. I just have one follow-up question. In your actions for offer management, have you ever thought about a discount for consumers that are trying to save water? This is what Sabesp did in Brazil in the past, so I want to know from you.
Well, Lily, right now we don't have that plan.
And, well, the other question is, you're still monitoring the rainfall volume, so how's that going to happen?
Well, we're taking other measures right now, so that would be posterior to what we're doing right now.
Okay, thank you.
Again, I remind you all that if you have a question or a comment, you can press star 9. We have the team of Sanepar here to answer your questions.
If you have any question, please let us know.
I remind you that if you have any comments or questions, you have to press star 9 and we'll unmute you.
This is our last call. If you have any questions, please press star 9. We have a question by Thais Irata from Valor Económico. You have the word. Good morning. I have a question about the drought. You have mentioned a few works that you have ongoing. Is there any investment value or anything for me to have an idea of what you're doing? Also, about that shift, I wanted to understand how that's happening or working today. How often that's happening and if that's going to change with the decree. I know that it might change because of the pandemic, but I wanted to know, is there any possibility of extending those shifts? Thank you for the question, Thais. Our investment plan is the 1.3 billion. Remember, that's what we want to do. We also have the Iminguava Dam close to Curitiba. That's ongoing. That's a work that we have already in place. And as I mentioned before, we're also looking at building wells and some other initiatives with reservoirs to make sure that we have more availability of water resources. About that shift, I think it's a necessary measure to make sure that we're not going to run out of water resources completely, and to make sure that the population is going to be supplied with water. Because if everyone uses it at the same time, we're not going to have any water resources to consume in the future. Right, so the idea now is not to extend that. It's going to be the same. Well, we're trying to make sure that with those shifts, we're going to have more water supply for longer. But if the situation gets more and more complicated with no rain and more consumption and all that, then we might have to think about other measures. The company reassesses the situation on a daily basis. So we'll see what happens. Okay, thank you. You're welcome, Thais.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our Q&A session. We'll turn it over to Abel Demetriou again for the final comments. You have the word. On behalf of Sanepar, I would like to thank everyone for participating in this call. It was very interesting. I would like to turn it over to my colleague here for some final comments as well. Good morning. As Abel said, I would like to thank you for participating in this call. It is very important for us that we are able to present a few aspects that we might ignore on a daily basis or with our daily routine, but they are very important. As was said, the water crisis is something that has affected us greatly in Brazil and in the world, and it worsens the complicated situation that we're all facing with the pandemic. But we are working hard to make sure things get better. The governor signed a decree. It is valid as of today. He signed it yesterday, and now we're going to be able to at least minimize the impacts of this very strong drought. We're also working with some other actions, but just like in any crisis of whichever aspect or whichever type it is, we are trying to create new opportunities from these challenges. We see that this is the time now to think about these new opportunities, and I'm sure soon you will find out more about them. They're going to be important for us, our stakeholders, shareholders, and the population. So please, right now, take care, and I wish everyone is very healthy and stay at home right now. Thank you. This is the end of our audio conference. We would like to thank you once again for participating. Have a great day.